Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear your word to us today with fresh ears. And let us be moved by your Spirit to take these words to heart and move out into the world to reflect them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Well, Thursday this past week marked an important one-year anniversary for my family. A year ago on that day, our oldest daughter, Mairead, started her new life. Now, it happened just as we'd hope it would. She finished school and found a job that she was excited about. And it was a great opportunity for her with lots of things to look forward to, except for the fact that she had to move away, far away, to California. Now, let me be clear that the story of our family growing up was no Leave It to Beaver adventure. We had a healthy share of eye rolling, yelling, and sibling knockdown drag out fights. The silent treatment was a regular dinner guest, and foot stomping and door slamming. Well, let me just say that Mairead was exceptional at these things. And honestly, it's fair to say that there were days when California would not have been far enough away, and we wondered whether we would even make it through all that chaos. When she graduated high school, of course, we moved into that season where we would pack her up periodically and send her to internships or college. And we had a lot of practice saying goodbye and kind of thought we had that down. But every time we would do that, there was always a clear returning point in mind. And we knew that she would come back to our life and we'd pick up where we left off. But when we walked her into the airport early on the morning of June 8th, we entered a new world with her. Because while we were used to those adventurous departings in the past, and they carried that expectation she would return, we knew that that day was different, and that day she was leaving to create a life apart from us, apart from everyone she knew and loved, apart from everything she'd grown up with. And we knew we would miss her terribly, and we have. It's been a long 12 months, and we do miss her terribly. And for Mairead's part, well, Mairead misses our dogs terribly. And us a little bit too, we think. But we said goodbye to her so that she could begin her life in California and do all those things that you have to do when you move to a new place, to find a place to live and new doctors and grocery stores, to get all that insurance paperwork in place and learn your way around a new area, find a church and learn the logistics of this job that she got. But we also knew we were sending her off to do something else. We were sending her off to share herself and to build a community right where she would live there in California. To create community where there wasn't one before. To offer the very best of who she was and is, along with those growing edges of who she is, maybe with a little less foot stomping and door slamming. To bring along those hopes and fears and worries and expectations that come with Mairead. And that she also would need to make space in this new place for the people that she met to become part of her, and to become meaningful and important to her. And so 1 year later, on Thursday this week, I can honestly say it's been hard. It has been really hard for her and for us. And some things have gone wonderfully, and other things have not gone so well. But we've discovered through these 12 months that we can be with her in that hardness, and we can be there with her in that hardness. We can encourage and comfort and listen and laugh. We can join her in moments, and as much as she might feel like she's alone, we can assure her that despite the distance, she is not alone. Together, we've bridged miles with texts and phone calls and almost daily pictures of the dogs, and she's bridged the weeks and months between visits with family and friends by working very hard to create opportunities where she will meet people and she will learn new things. And that's something that didn't come easy to her. Together we've learned that imperfect messiness of her growing up years and of our family community, this community that we have come to know and love each other, we discovered that that has equipped her and us to build community in new ways and new places. Not easily, definitely not perfectly, and not without tears, doubts, or frustrations, but it has equipped us nonetheless. Well, last week when we gathered here, we did so with the words of the Pentecost story shaping our worship. As Pastor John read the account of the scripture that day from Acts 2, we were reminded how everyone who was gathered together in that space heard the sound like a rushing violent wind, and it just took over that space, and everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. The telling of the day of Pentecost story instills in us that God is at work in the world in mighty ways on that day, long ago, but also today and every day. Well, this morning we're going to step back a little bit in time in Scripture before the day of Pentecost and go into the Gospel of Matthew, into the one of the accounts in Matthew that comes just after the resurrection, where we find the 11 disciples on a mountaintop in Galilee, having been told by Jesus to meet there. It makes sense that Jesus would call them to gather on a mountain. I mean, the disciples don't know it yet, but their lives are about to take a big turn. A lot of important things happen on mountains throughout Scripture. On Mount Ararat, the ark came to rest after the great flood. On Mount Sinai, Moses received the Ten Commandments. And we'll remember that Jesus delivered the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, on a mountain, and later was transfigured, was changed in appearance before James and John and Peter. Although we don't know the name for this mountain in which they meet today, we're told it's in Galilee. And Galilee was the region from which Jesus first called them to come and follow him. And it's a place they've been gathering together and sharing meals and resting and praying and sometimes getting on each other's nerves and being corrected and worshiping and learning. All of this as they were developing a relationship with Jesus, as they were building community as followers of Jesus Christ. And now in these early moments of the resurrection, they were experiencing renewed hope. Jesus was alive. After watching what happened on Good Friday and being devastated by the loss of the one who had taught them so much, their hope had been renewed, and they had discovered the power of God, even over death itself. And they hadn't really understood that before. They were coming to know that Jesus of Galilee, the man who had walked and talked with them, teaching them more about life and truth and love than they even knew was possible, that this man was indeed the Christ. And so there they were, just as Jesus had asked them to be, on a mountain, the world stretching out before them, not sure just what was next or where Jesus would take them. And it makes me wonder what it was like for them as they stood there with Jesus when he did start talking and when he did begin to reveal to them what was next. When he said, go, instead of follow me. And when he didn't give them a place to meet up again, but rather he sent them into every possible place there is. And when he told them to do the work of disciple making instead of sitting down and teaching them or telling them a parable. I wonder how it felt when it finally dawned on them that Jesus was telling them it was time to go into new places, ones with practices and cultures different than their own, places where they probably wouldn't know many people, if anyone at all, places where they would have to figure out where to eat and sleep and travel and worship and get questions answered that came up along the way. Jesus was sending them out from the community they knew and loved so that they could do what Jesus had done with and for them, so that they could do with others, eating and resting, talking and listening, praying and worshiping, laughing, mourning, and celebrating life together. I wish Matthew gave us a little more of the story about what they said after Jesus said. He doesn't tell us what their reaction was, but I can't help but imagine that they looked at Jesus wide-eyed, incredulous, and said something like, "Wait, what? Go? Where? You can't be serious. There's only 11 of us. 11. We're not even 12 anymore. How can we possibly make disciples? We're not even done being made into them yet. And by the way, Jesus, you just got back to us. We're not ready to leave you again." If their response was anything like that, well, they were right. They weren't done yet. They were confused and afraid. They were small in number, and they hadn't had much time with Jesus since the resurrection. What's interesting about the Great Commission is that Jesus didn't say anything to them about being well-trained and ready. He didn't say, "You've got it all, you're ready to go. Go and make disciples." And he doesn't call out the ones that were told doubted and speak only to the ones that were appropriately worshipful and devout. The Great Commission, as we've come to know this passage, is not like an award for completion of a course of study. Rather, it's a sending of who we are, just who we are, just as we are all the time, to share what we've experienced in Jesus with those with whom we come in contact. It's to know and be known by others just as Jesus knows us and makes himself known to us. Jesus sent the disciples out not as a cohesive, well-trained group of leaders, but as followers who were transformed by God's love and grace through Jesus. They weren't perfect, they certainly didn't have all the answers, and they were clearly confused still by all that had happened. But they had something going for them, something that made all the difference in the world: Jesus. Jesus, who despite the fact that they betrayed him and they abandoned him, he still loved them. His authority in heaven and earth they knew and had experienced firsthand. And Jesus promised to be with them as they go, not just for a while, but forever. Eugene Peterson translates that promise like this. He says, "I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age." Day after day after day. I love that phrase. I love it because it says clearly being sent isn't about those distinct big moments or big events or a task or a place or a time. It's not only about the giant things that come our way. Rather, Jesus is about the regular work of being faithful, whether we live in Virginia or Guatemala, whether we're on vacation or at work or school, whether we're in the midst of a special event or program or simply moving through the mundane tasks of a regular day. Jesus is with us as we figure things out, as we mess them up, as we try again day after day after day. And we're not so different than the disciples in that. We gather together both in and from the messiness of life. Each of us came here with our own messiness, and in our togetherness, there's messiness as well, and certainly in our departing, we re-enter the messiness. We come and worship with a mixture of convictions and doubts, of fears and hopes, of release and unknowns and angst, and we leave. We leave with all that stuff, still sent out to be faithful with the love of God that's been made known to us in Jesus. The account of the Great Commission that we read today, well, that's the enduring story of the church. It's a story of our life together here in this place and the work we do as Mazenutten's faithful, but it's also the story of the church as it goes out into the world, beyond the doors, into what's next for each of us and all of us. And all of it's sustained with Jesus' promise to be with us, day after day after day. Let me invite you to stand and join me as we affirm what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.